Welcome back to Squawk 1200. I'm Afterburner Al, along with Paul Prideker. How are you doing, Paul?
Al, I'm doing great. Yesterday we were talking about how it's going to be a beautiful week with no rain, and we woke up to rain this morning, so it's a typical Oshkosh, but we're having a great time.
There's a little bit of squishing around going on the field, but everything should dry out. I already was kind of perspiring a little bit by the time I got to the station,
yep.
So things are warming up and drying out fast, so come on out if you're local. Otherwise, we're glad that you joined us online at EAradio.net, either watching or listening. And, of course, check out our social media channels like at EA Radio for Twitter. And, of course, info at EAradio.net if you'd like to drop us a line. But right now, we have two guests with us, Trey Walker and Andy Pate, both of Blue Line Aviation. And, Trey, you're the owner of Blue Line Aviation. Tell us a little bit about your firm. It's a flight school.
Yeah, so we're a flight school based in Raleigh, North Carolina. And we focus primarily on accelerated flight training for people looking for a career in aviation.
Are you doing more than pilot training? In other words, opportunities for mechanics? Or are we talking about a strict 141 pilot training school?
Mostly flight training, yeah. We don't really do any maintenance training.
Okay. Are you busy?
Yeah, we stay really busy. Last year, in spite of COVID, was our busiest year ever. And you know, this year, I think we're probably going to sell out the last couple of spots, you know, this week or next week, and move on to next year.
Yeah, we almost have this year done for. Like, it's almost completely filled up at this point.
So this is a traditional Part 141 program, and what's your fleet? What's your fleet makeup? I think I understood you might have just acquired some more airplanes.
Yeah, we definitely had a whole order of 100 Diamond aircraft, which is a huge order because I think it's Diamond's largest order now. We're kind of spoiled, but we have air conditioned aircraft.
G1000 pilot being
systems.
Spoiled, what a
I know,
unusual
right?
concept.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
And where are your students coming from? I mean, you must promote, advertise, market, but where are your students coming from? I mean, is it North Carolina, or are they coming from all over the country, or what's that look like?
Yeah, it's mostly all over the country. You know, there's a couple of concentrations on the West Coast and, you know, Texas, Florida. We get a bunch of people from there, but very few of them are actually from North Carolina, so that's kind of funny how that shift has happened.
When a student comes to you and says, I want to learn how to fly, what are you telling them? How much are you inspiring them, and how much are you giving them frank information?
Well, you know, we try to be honest with everybody, and the, kind of one of the funny things about how we do it is, you know, we don't take just everybody that applies or that comes and visits. So we really do a good job of vetting the student, making sure that we're a good fit for them, they're a good fit for us, and that they're likely to be successful in the program.
I had a former life at a regional airline, and during my 20 years there, I went from a period of time where we were filling up our classes with people with 5,000 hours to we can barely find people with 500 hours and everything in between. Are you affected by the same thing? Is there a shortage, or do you see the pipeline kind of filling in and you're doing your part to make sure these people have some employment afterwards?
Yeah, there's definitely a huge need for pilots still. We're seeing the airlines hiring. You know, people are training like crazy. I think probably a lot of flight schools are reporting that activity is, you know, above pre-COVID levels. So it seems to have rebounded completely. And I think, you know, the airlines did what they do best, which isn't plan for the future very well. And so, you know, they took a whole year off of hiring people. And so now there's a huge backlog of need that's worse than it was before. And on the other end, they let people retire early and did all these things to make their whole worse.
I resemble that remark, actually, because when I was at the airline, if somebody asked me, well, what are your long range plans? I would say dinner.
Right.
Yeah. That's as good as I could do.
Yeah, it is crazy seeing the effects, because you would assume that this shortage, that was like, you would think there's this huge pile of pilots that just need to get jobs, but it's just not the case. We're seeing that people are left and right are just hiring like crazy. And you can actually see the effects, like United alone just bought 25
sure.
supersonic jets. So I mean, it's a clear indication that there's a huge investment because they're seeing the future as well. So
can a student come into your program at various entry points, or will they come to you with absolutely no flying experience?
Yeah, so typically most of our people goes into something called the Career Pilot Program.
Okay.
So this is it's a six-month program. We get people from no experience to their multi-engine instructor rating in a matter of 6 months, actually less than 6 months.
So how many hours will they have when they leave?
Usually right around 200, 250.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah. And right from there, they migrate into typically becoming an instructor with us. And from there, they get to maintain and uphold that same standard that we've already put in place at our flight school.
One of the challenges at the FBO level is keeping an instructor on staff because of the fact that there's so much upward pull mm-hmm. in the industry. And of course, you don't really blame the instructor for wanting to move on as soon as possible. What is your particular policies as far as retaining instructors so that you have a continuity of instruction and education?
Yeah, you know, we were actually having that conversation yesterday as we saw one of our former instructors is the assistant chief at Middle Tennessee State University, and we ran into him at their booth over there. So, you know, we celebrate their success and they're moving on. You know, we don't really have an instructor shortage. Like, we don't experience that like other flight schools do because, you know, we feel like we make a really good environment for them and they want to work here. They want to stay here. And, in fact, we just finally had a push of three or four that, you know, finally moved out on the other end. You know, they stayed beyond 1,500. So, you know, I think we probably turn away more people than we hire every month, and then we keep them for a long time.
Yeah, we just posted for certified flight instructors recently, and we're talking hundreds of applications coming in to be able to work at Blue Line. They see our culture, they see what we're doing and how fast we're growing, and they just want to be a part of that. So
I'm certainly familiar with the, you know, the goals and the kind of the footprint of a 141 program. And I'm sure you guys are the absolute best. But let's suppose you have a student who is not progressing according to schedule. What are some options?
Yeah, so we've one of the things that differentiates us is we have a huge support staff of people. We have program managers, academy leaders. We've got schedulers, operations people, all these folks. And so we've got a team of people that are able to help pull that student aside and figure out how to get them back on track or come up with an alternative plan for them. But we hope that our screening process, which is extremely unique and thorough, you know, reduces the likelihood that that's going to happen.
Oftentimes when we talk about pilot growth, pilot shortages, serving the community, creating pipelines, the subject of diversity comes up. Can you address that and how you're dealing with that?
Yeah, I mean, we you know, certainly welcome pilots from everywhere and students from everywhere. And that's one of the cool things about what we built. You know, we bring in students from all over the country, all kinds of backgrounds, you know, nationalities. We've got people that were on world championship sports teams. We've got people that were, you know, backpackers or corporate people. So there's a huge amount of diversity from where people are from, their backgrounds, what they're into. You know, we've got some folks that'll be here later this week that kind of speak to that vision of having, you know, an inclusive environment where anybody can be comfortable and welcomed.
Yeah, especially when it comes to the female side of aviation.
Sure.
So that's huge right now. So coming from my world of Blue Line where it's marketing, I work with a lot of female-inspired accounts on Instagram and Facebook. And that's a huge thing. Every female that's ever come around Blue Line, I've always told them, hey, make sure you're following these accounts and everything. So they can have that community around them, and we also have that as well. Our chief flight instructor is female, and she's always there for the local female students that we have there.
Yeah, we're speaking with Andy and Trey from Blue Line Aviation, and I have just sort of one more sort of follow-up question about training because I did so much training, and I'm just curious about this. Your fleet is all glass. So that's really nice. And sometimes I wonder, well, are you still teaching the basics or is the focus really on automation?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And thanks.
You know, kind of what kind of the way, we've heard that a lot over the years. And I'll be honest with you, you know, 20 years ago, I was one of those guys that said, you got to learn in steam before you fly the glass. And then I learned the glass and then I saw the advantage of it. And then I went to the airlines where we didn't have steam gauges in the airplane. And then we started getting jets that we fly that don't have steam gauges in the airplane. And so what I tell people is, you know, there's got some Model Ts floating around here. When you go to learn to drive, you don't start in that. You know, you start in whatever you have. And so we want to teach modern pilots in the modern world to learn to fly modern airplanes in the next-gen system. And so our aircraft do that better than anybody else's.
And do you find that because the students that you're getting grew up on iPads and other technology that they understand it, they get it?
It is amazing. I mean, my 6-year-old can do things on an iPad and a Kindle that I have no idea how it's supposed to happen. But, yeah, we see that when they come in. They're really good at it. They're fast. They pick it up quickly.
So when are you going to put them in the pilot seat?
Oh, my son's already got some time.
Yeah, he already has time.
Seat, yeah.
No, it's interesting you ask about that. And you know, early in my pilot career when I started getting my first jets, and of course, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I'm flying a jet now, but it's a really old jet. It was certified 6 months before I was born.
Right.
So I'm still back in these round dials, no matter, I couldn't escape into the 21st century. Is any of this glass panel, are you able to revert it to steam gauges or somehow simulate some of that, you know, some like tracking of VOR. The only reason I bring this up is because I think it was 2 years ago, the summer of 2019, Collins did some sort of, or the GPS system did some sort of clock update, and it just completely screwed over all the Collins.
Yeah, I remember that.
People. Luckily, I was sleeping in a tent, and so I didn't have to worry about that at the moment. But it turned out we had, for the next couple of weeks, we're flying a lot of green needles in RJs.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of interesting that you can bring everybody back to the beginning. Even I had to tell our dispatchers, like, you can't file that here because of service volume. So no one was even thinking about that. It's amazing how in the span of like 5 hours, we were back to, you know, 1990s.
And even talking about like the aspect of, you know, using modern technology, that even includes in our modern facility that we're building down in Johnson County right now. So this is, which is amazing. Just in general, like, I would put a lot of excitement in just the idea that's a modern training facility. But there's also going to be it's a three-story building, and on the top floor, it's literally a barbecue restaurant that overhangs the runway.
I am hungry, but tell us where we can see you on the field in the last few seconds.
Yeah, we're going to be at Diamond's booth. We're going to be, you'll see our DA-42 there. It's a blue DA-42, probably the most beautiful plane there. Won't say anything. But yeah, you can find us there.
Trey. Perfect. And Andy of Blue Line Aviation, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, gentlemen. Good luck to you.
You're listening to EAA Radio.